Welcome to another episode of Whiskey on Sunday. I am Allie.
I'm Whiskey. No, Seth. I'm Seth.
No, today is a wine day. Today is a wine day. The downfall about living in the Pacific Northwest is that the Chardonnay grape doesn't do so well. They're typically a red grape area.
But the Pacific Northwest is good for Rieslings. They have a drier Riesling. So if you like a semi-dry, the Washington State Rieslings are really good.
Yes.
The
wine club that I was just bitching to you about off air, they have a good Gewürztraminer.
I always like saying that really quickly.
Yes.
It sounds like it's some kind of Nazi war machine.
Or Nazi porn.
Or both.
Mm.
Like a giant
Nazi robot, war machine porn.
Robot sex machine that has machine guns for tits.
Oh my god. And they're all attracted to Eva Braun. So this started out weird. As well it should. We have a bunch of shit that we want to talk about. Because we have forgotten that we are best friends first and a podcast second. We have not actually spoken for the better part of a month. Typically, it's just a random text message saying, "Miss ya," or "I'm totally drunk right now," from me.
From you, mostly.
But I'm drunk a lot. That's
because after I dropped my phone face down onto the tiles and smashed my brand new Samsung Galaxy S3, I'm not allowed to touch my phone while I'm drinking.
Makes sense. Well, that and you send inappropriate text messages.
Do I? When I'm drunk? Yeah. But usually to everybody.
I kind of usurped the last episode talking about PodFest because I'm a douche nozzle and there was so much happening. But we do have, today let's talk music because you have a lot of things that happened. I mean, besides Morrissey, which we talked about in the last episode, you got to see Scala Palooza, which is a fucking glorious name.
Yeah, it was this guy who runs a record label in town, who's been re-releasing things on vinyl, like 90s ska bands on vinyl.
Sweet.
And he also
is that. Wait. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be like hopping in. Is that the Kickstarter that you've been kicking into?
Yes.
Okay.
So he had a bunch of these bands that he's kickstarted with, and he's doing a tour with them. And the second date on the tour was New Haven, and we went down, and it was like a high school reunion where everybody you ran into you liked.
Good. Could have been the other kind.
Right. So it was amazing. Did not see the ex. So that was probably because she's now too cool for Scott.
oh my god.
But it was a blast, and I saw a lot of people I hadn't seen in 15 or 20 years, so that was cool. The night before that, we went for our anniversary present. I bought Vicky tickets to see Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, you went before. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, like...
That's okay.
Sound different.
Now, I didn't want to... Like, I really like Springsteen, and when Vicky and I were in high school, we were both super into Springsteen. And that's kind of how we started talking, and we had songs that were like meaningful to the two of us during high school. And she had seen him in like the 80s, like when he was a huge deal.
Right.
Well, apparently, he's still a huge deal because it was the most I've ever spent on a concert.
How much did you pay?
It was a little over $100 a ticket.
Oh, that just hurts my heart.
But I think I got my money's worth. First of all, no opening band. The guy is in his 60s. He played for 3.5 hours. I actually made a Groove Shark playlist of everything that he played the next day because Marissa didn't go and I wanted her to hear because he picked some really out there shit. And he does this thing where he wanders off into the crowd. And people bring these big, like wrestling signs. You know, like in wrestling, they have these
Like the John 3:16
shit? Yeah, they bring these hand-lettered signs. Well, these are all song requests on these big pieces of poster board. So he wanders out into the crowd, and he grabs these pieces of poster board, and he comes back, and he flips through them, and he pulls them out, and he plays the songs.
That's awesome.
So he played Incident on 57th Street, which was off his second album, and that was a song that Vicky and I had a lot of history with. So that was really awesome. We didn't think that was going to happen. Just did not expect that to happen.
Wait, where was this?
Hartford.
Really?
Yeah, it was at the XL Center in Hartford.
Nice.
The last time we'd been there was for a hockey game.
Well, and you know what? They typically just put Dave Matthews there, and I go,
No. But, yeah. Now, this was the first tour he's done since Clarence Clemens, his saxophone player and best friend, died.
Wow.
So that, he comes out, and they do their opening song, and then they're doing the song where usually he introduces the band. He starts introducing the band, and he's like, you know, I see a lot of old faces on the stage tonight and some new faces. And he goes, a lot of old faces in the crowd tonight and some new faces. Welcome. And he comes off kind of like a fundamentalist tent revival. And there's some, like, you can find some stuff on YouTube where he does like his stuff. And it's hilarious. And just, you just really get into it. But he talks about the people that aren't there, and, you know, there's somebody missing, and the song is about ghosts, and when you're young, ghosts are scary, but after you're older, you realize they're your companions, and they're friends, and everyone's like, oh, everyone's like, grown people are crying because of some guy that they've never met, they just listened to every album he played on, is gone. And he brings up, he's got, you know, they replaced the saxophone with an entire six-person brass section.
Really?
Because since Clarence Clemens isn't there to play saxophone, they're like, well, we can't replace, Clarence is too big to replace.
You can't replace him with one person, you need six.
Right. So they have a trumpet and a cornet and a baritone sax, but the tenor sax is played by Clarence Clemens' nephew, who looks kind of like Moss from the IT crowd, except a foot taller and very muscular.
That's awesome. And I'm kind of a little teary about it.
And, his name is Jake Clemens. And it turns out Jake Clemens, when he was 18, was in a couple of ska bands that I like. He was in the Israelites. And
really?
Yeah. He also played for President Clinton's inauguration. But it was great. It was an amazing show. And it went 3.5 hours. We were exhausted. We we're in these tiny little seats with our knees are touching the seats in front of us. And
couldn't be happier.
I stood up for the last five encores. And I just stayed standing up because I wanted to be able to walk at some point. We got home around 2 o'clock in the morning, and I still had to go to work the next day.
Sounds fucking phenomenal.
It was amazing. And we're like, and Vicky's like, should we just, I mean, I know you got to work. Do you want to just leave before he's finished? You know, then we won't have to worry about getting on the parking lot. I'm like, the man is like 65 years old. I cannot let him outlast me. I'm not letting this old man chase me out of the seat yet.
That's fucking phenomenal.
But then we spent an hour and a half in the parking garage waiting for that to clear out enough for us to actually leave.
You could have had sex in your car.
We could have. We should have thought of that.
See, that's why I'm still needed on the East Coast. I am a perverted Jiminy Cricket here to bring an umbrella.
I should have been texting you.
Talking about music, I will actually rock you with an anecdote. I had the opportunity to go to see a jazz jam at a place called Coyotes. Now, Coyotes is in Hillsboro, Oregon, which really isn't Portland. It's not a high traffic area. So when my friend Puppy, Yes, her nickname is Puppy. When she suggested that Coyotes was a place that I need to go, I went, you know what? I'm going to trust you on this. We're just going to go. We're going to see how it is. If it's shitty, I can leave. That's why I always have a car. So we show up at Coyotes, and Coyotes is pretty much decked out like, have you ever been to Saltwater? The Saltwater Farm vineyards in East Coast, on the East Coast, on in Connecticut, the vineyard?
No, I've been right near there, and I've driven by there, but I've never been able to, they've never been open when we were there. I've had their wine.
Well, yes, you had the Merlot with me, right?
Yeah, also, actually, I got a half a case of it free once.
That's fuck awesome. Was it Abby's wedding?
Yeah.
Okay. So, it's very industrial feeling, but it's also like rustic industrial, which is a fucking weird thing to say. It kind of feels like it should be two floors. I think there's only one floor to it, or there's maybe a loft area for like games and shit. But you walk in, it's very lodgy, wooden, you can smell the cedar type area. I walk in and Poppy pulls me into this area where the stage is. So there's a main stage. Main stage is not enormous because mm-hmm. it's the only stage at Coyotes. And she immediately introduces me to her friend Laura. And I put out my hand to shake it, as one is ought to do.
As one does.
And Laura immediately puts both of her hands up in the air and she's like, I'm sorry, I really don't shake anybody's hand. And I said, that's fine. That's no worries. How are you doing? And so we caught up in things like that. And as Laura kind of shifted off of the conversation, Puppy was like, she has a severe gluten intolerance and she doesn't touch anyone's hands because she doesn't want any of that to affect her. She's a piano player. She's a singer. She doesn't want to get sick. So I was like, that wasn't offended at all. So she brings me over to an older gentleman friend of hers, and they're talking back and forth, and he is just completely, like, sad that he wasn't able to go to her wedding. And so she was telling him a little bit about the wedding and about how Matt looked and how she looked and how much fun they had and things like that. And he was like, oh, yeah, Laura told me a little bit about it because Laura played there. She finally introduces me. And she goes, oh, I'm, well, he looks at me expectantly. And she goes, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I just assumed that all of my friends know each other. Allie, this is Dick. Dick Burke, this is Allie. Have you ever had one of those moments where you're just like, I have been kicked in the sternum? Dick Burke was the last drummer for Billie Holiday.
Yeah.
I mean, he is on so many of, like, the jazz greats' albums. He produced so many of them. And I'm like, the whole time we were having this conversation, I was like, this is so fucking familiar. Like, he looks familiar to me. And they were talking about, like, simple shit. Like, I'm sorry I couldn't make your wedding. And she was like, no, that's okay. Your ribs were being spread. You were having heart surgery. I fucking forgive you. I get this introduction, and I'm just like, oh, man, I mean, at least I was nice. At least I was courteous. I'm always kind and courteous when I first meet somebody. If I know that they can deal with sarcasm, I'll give them sarcasm. If I think that they're a fucking asshole, I'll treat them like a fucking asshole. But he was nothing but sweet and lovely and kind and wonderful and generous and just, he was so focused and, like, so apologetic about missing a wedding. I was just like, this is, that's a fucking, yeah, he knows the family. Like, he's asking about her puppies, like, because Puppy's mom bred her Jack Russell, so there's five tiny puppies just running around, and they're having this, like, completely inane and inconsequential chat.
Normal, everyday, they're not talking about, what?
I was like, fuck you, tell me a story about Billie Holiday. How about Miles Davis? Fucking tell me a Mingus story.
I want to hear about dead people who played music.
Uh-huh.
I want to hear dead legend stories.
Yeah, and then he admitted that he was having difficulty moving one of his hands. So he and Laura took the stage, and it was just the two of them for about 15 minutes, and he was just like arthritic in the way that his hands were moving, but the way that the sound was happening, it was as if nothing was wrong. He only had 7 of his 10 fingers working, and it still kicked my metaphorical dick off. So they're playing, and then as soon as they were done, they decided to take a break and then take a note of who was there for the jazz jam, because the jazz jam was going to follow. So they took a note of like who was playing what instruments, and I kind of stepped off at that point to have a cigarette. And then here's the thing. I don't know if I'm actually being hit on by dudes of the Pacific Northwest, but people are like smiling at me and nodding at me. And technically, this dude was from Louisiana, so I think he was hitting on me.
But they do come to the Pacific Northwest for the pot, so they could just be happy.
No, they don't, because Oregon is not a pot state, but we will talk about that when we talk about the
About the
election.
election.
Yeah, I went outside for a cigarette. And there was this kid that was smoking a cigarette. And by kid, I mean he was probably like a year or two older than I. If he was younger than I, then I would be worried at his life choices because he looked older than me. So he and I are talking, and like I go to shake his hand, shakes his hand. His name is Rebel Red, and well, that's the name that he gave me. Fine. He moved from Louisiana to do some music stuff, got a job as a chef, and promptly cut out all of the nerves in his left hand.
Ah,
Yeah, so
which fucks up both of his jaws.
it totally does. So he's a chef for Coyotes, and he was off for the day, so he's talking to me about it. And he showed me a scar, and it basically looked like he was trying to cut his hand off. And I'm sitting there going, why is Seth not here? He would love this. I wish my life was videotaped.
Wait, I would love to look at
Just the story.
other
It,
people's
how fucking
misfortunes.
ironic is it that a motherfucking guitarist, a dude that wanted to be a guitar, like fucking amazing guy. I don't, words are hard. I'm drunk. He would like spite his fucking music and almost cut his hand in half. When I was thinking back to the story, and I was like, oh, I need to tell Seth about this, I almost thought that he had just presented me a stump. And that he had actually successfully done it. I don't know if he has fingers or just has wrist. But his name is Rebel Red. So first off, I thought, could be friends with Seth.
I don't know any rebels.
But he told me that there's a karaoke there. So apparently I will be doing karaoke at some point. I just need to not be. Oh, so I went back to the jazz jam. And there was this really cute dude playing an upright bass. Kind of goofy, Shaggy-esque.
Like from like the Casey Kasem Shaggy from Scooby-Doo?
Yes. Yeah. The hair had grown out. Was almost Page Boy, but like more He-Man than Page Boy. That makes sense? But yeah, that was fun. I ended up leaving and I'm singing at the top of my lungs because I drank an entire bottle of wine while I was there. I'm not proud of that fact.
Wait, and you didn't podcast it?
No, I did not.
Oh.
So I'm a little disappointed in myself. But I ended up leaving there, and as we're leaving, they're playing I've Got the World on a String, and that's a song that I know. So I'm singing it at the top of my lungs, and Puppy goes, you should go up on stage and sing with them. So there's a possibility of me singing with Dick Burke before I or he go. So that would be lovely. But let's move on from that. We should. We have so many things to talk about. We have minor league hockey, my new job. Let's talk minor league hockey.
Okay. Nick and I went to Springfield with Nick and Jackie to see the Providence Bruins play against the Springfield Dick Dogs or...
Isotopes?
No. What are they? They are the Falcons, the Springfield Falcons.
Okay.
And they were fucking terrible. They just did not do very well. But it was a blast. It was nice to see some hockey. We are still in a hockey strike as of recording. A job action. It is a lockout, and we're all missing this hockey stuff. So it was nice to see hockey.
Okay, so the lockout is a result of reissuing contracts, or is it a result of? Like,
they had a collective bargaining agreement that expired right before the beginning of the season.
I don't know what any of that means.
Collective bargaining agreement is basically a union contract.
Okay.
And this was the one that was signed ending after the entire season that was lost for the last lockout. So, last year was a record. They finally got, they recovered completely from the last lockout as far as the decline in revenue and fans, and they had a record year for income for the NHL, and they decided that they wanted more of that $3 billion pie than they had before. So they're going to change what the profits, the split of the profits were of the revenue. And they also want to change how long the contracts can go for, and how long you have to be with the team before you can be a free agent and decide what team you want to play for by yourself. But the problem is they spent all summer signing these huge contracts with people, knowing full well that they weren't going to ever follow those contracts because they were going to make key parts of those contracts
null and
invalid.
Okay.
With the new agreement. So they've gotten it down so that they've agreed to the money. It's just the other points they have to. Either way, it was annoying.
Like insurance?
Insurance. The players want to keep the current contracts that have already been signed as is, and then new contracts would follow the new restrictions. Things like that. It's just a pain in the dick, and I'm really pissed with the NHL owners. But no hockey. But we did actually get to see the minor team, and there's a couple of players who had played a few games with the Boston Bruins over the last couple of years to replace injuries. And so some of them actually had played on the Stanley Cup-winning team from 2011. And Ray Bourque's son was there. He plays now for Providence. Ray Bourque was a big Bruin when we were in high school. Or actually, no, it was after high school. But Ray Bourque was a big deal, Bruin. And his son was there playing. So that was cool. We had a lot of fun. Before Springfield, we drove all the way up to Northampton and did Northampton-y stuff. And Jackie showed us to this place called Grub.
And I love that place.
It's so awesome. Oh my God, it's so awesome with booze. And they have wine and food and all the food changes. Like they have a daily menu changes. Depends on what the local farms have for them.
We have that here. It's called Burgerville.
Yeah. You have that there. It's called Portland.
True. So what did you guys end up having at Grub?
We had, Vicky and I shared a turkey Gouda sandwich thing.
Okay.
And they give you sliced pickles and pickled peppers, like these little tiny hot peppers that have been pickled, and wine.
Well, you can't do wrong with wine. My favorite part of NoHo is when you go to Harrods. Have you ever been?
No.
Ugh. Okay, the fact that the Elfie didn't take you to this makes me very angry. Harrods is an ice cream shop, and it was prior to Cold Stone Creamery, but what they do is they have the cold slab, and then they mix in the flavors, like, while you order them.
Yeah.
So Harrods was one of the first places in the East Coast to do that. So it's really, 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 really nom ice cream slash frozen yogurt.
When I worked for Ashley's, which was a small New Haven-based ice cream chain, we made our own ice cream. Mm-hmm. In the New Haven store, they still had that big marble slab.
Yep.
But they didn't use it.
Why?
Because it's a pain in the dick.
It doesn't matter.
It is a huge pain in the dick, and it's not really... most people weren't even ordering it that way. They just wanted to have the flavors, because we did a lot of different flavors.
Right.
So they didn't want the mix-ins as much. So we just stopped doing it. They just stopped doing that, like, in the late 90s, because it was a big thing in the early 90s, and they stopped doing it. So I worked there for a Yale... One of the weekends I was there was for one of the reunion weekends. Yale alumni are the worst to work with in a service job.
And
they're terrible tippers.
Of course they are.
They're very entitled people.
That's why.
And they treat you like garbage.
Absolutely. Because you're fucking townie.
Right. You're in a menial job, so
you're a bootlicker.
So these people are in, and they haven't been in New Haven in 10 years, and they want their ice cream get mixed in. And I'm like, oh, we don't do that. What? Well, why not? Because it's not 1992 anymore.
Right.
I'm like, we're not that old. We're like, you haven't been here in 10 years. We haven't kept things. This is not a museum. And that was when I was working, like, three different townie jobs. And I had people come in for the Yale-Harvard game and then show up at the bar I worked at. And they're like, you used to be able to come in with your last term paper, with your dissertation, and you put it on they put it on the wall, and they'd give you a free drink. I'm like, yeah, we don't do that. Well, that's like, how do you not know that? How do you not do that? It's a local tradition. They keep it. I'm like, how do you? You don't know anything about this place. I'm like, I
was born. Have you been local for a fucking month?
I was born five blocks from here. I live five blocks in that direction, and when I die, they're gonna bring me five blocks in that direction. I am a local tradition.
I'm gonna be filleted by a motherfucking Yale law student who's most likely not from the East Coast.
Or the country. So anyway, yes, we did not stop and get that ice cream. And if we did, I wouldn't have gotten it mixed in on the marble slab, because it's a pain in the dick.
Well,
but at least it's not one of those places that you have to sing if you get tipped.
What?
Cold Stone Creamery, which is the same thing, but it's a chain. When people put money in the tip jar, they are supposed to sing a song.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Mortifying. It is mortifying. So what you do is you tip when their back is turned so they won't notice.
I sing for the shit of it, so that's not an issue.
But it turns every transaction into a Chili's birthday.
It really does. No one ever wants a Chili's birthday.
No one ever does.
It's kind of like the Spanish Inquisition of, like, fucking chain restaurant birthdays.
The first word spoken by every birthday person after the little cupcake arrives is to everyone else on the table, which is, fuck you guys.
It's more, shh, stop it. No, thanks. I'm all right.
You hear the right. Clap, 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 clap. You're like, oh, shit, it's my birthday. Mm-hmm. Son of a
Speaking of birthdays, your wife has a birthday.
She had a birthday.
Well, she has a birthday, but it happened.
It happened already.
I missed it, and I feel like shit for it. I sent her a message, though, so that's...
Yeah, she appreciated it.
Did she?
She did.
All right. I missed the gravity, guys.
You missed the dick off of us.
Well, like, I went to fucking ground control here, and I was like, where is Vicky? And so I spent, like, about a half an hour. Admittedly, I was drunk. Spent about a half an hour looking for you guys. Because it's a fucking 8-bit arcade in Portland. Next to the 24-hour Elvis.
24-hour Elvis?
Yeah. There is an art installment type thing in Portland. In Old Town, which is Chinatown, Whiskey Town type thing. And there's a 24-hour Elvis where you go there, you put in a quarter, and then you just listen to, like, this 8-bit voice tell you things. And so it marries you as, like, fucking Frankie and Annette.
Weird.
It's gorgeous. So my friends took me there, and they decided to get married again. They've been married 4 times. They've been married 3 months. It's kind of awesome. So we went there, and it's this crazy Day of the Dead style altar type feel when you look at the windows that are open. And so they have this, like, salt and pepper screen saying go to 24hourelvis.com. Or whatever the fuck it was. I don't know. But you put in a quarter, and then you... It was raining, because it's Portland. Apparently it rains like a motherfucker. Did I tell you I went to a fucking... I went to a diner that has a bunch of signatures from drag queens, and it has a New Kids on the Block doll in its box. And it gave me the shits.
The diner or the doll? You're not supposed to lick the doll. No.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
It's from the early 90s. Don't lick it. It's full of...
It's full of salmonella.
It's got 15 years of diner grease on it. No wonder you got the shits.
Well, and the thing is, I thought I was being safe because I ordered fucking country gravy and biscuits.
How is that ever safe?
Because country gravy is amazing, motherfucker.
It is, but it's also fat, flour, and fat.
I don't see any issue with that. You when can't
you,
get
when you mix you fat flour fat. And when you mix flat flour and fat with booze, you're gonna have a good 6 hours of rocket ass.
No, I didn't have rocket ass for 6 hours, but I did have it in a very punk bathroom, which made me think now I have herpes.
or scabies, which made me think, this is what it was like going to CBGB's back in the day.
Oh my god, it was a CBGB bathroom. Was it CBGB bathroom? Oh, true. But I went to Ground Control, which is that place that Hardwick and Will Wheaton went to, or they go to whenever they're in Portland.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was going to be bigger than it was. But I walked in, and I paid, well, actually, no, Matt paid for me. Thanks, Bullron. Walked in, 8-bit games for the world to see. It was so fucking glorious. I was just like, I just want to roll around in it, like, pig pen peanut style. I just, like, wanted it to be absorbed into the essence that was me. It was fucking glorious. Like, we walked in, we played the X-Men 8-bit arcade game, where it was Contra-style, so it was left to right, and you had to continuously move in order to progress the story. And I was playing, I think I was playing Dazzler for a little while, and then I was playing Cyclops and Storm. But Puppy played Nightcrawler, and Bloron played Wolverine. I missed arcade games like crazy. And Ground Control gave me that. They also gave me a gin and Titanic. Or a gin and tronic.
A gin and tronic?
Yes, one of those things. It was good, but it wasn't great. So I walk upstairs. I'm looking at all the pinball shit they have offered. They have a Doctor Who with Tom Baker and his motherfucking scarf. They have Rampage, like, just playing off in a corner. And then I look, and there's a Star Trek The Next Generation. And I see Data. And I see Deanna Troi. And I see Worf. And I see Jean-Luc Picard. But I do not see a Wesley motherfucking Crusher. What do I see? Will Wheaton's signature.
Will Wheaton has really come to embrace the fact that he was the Jar Jar Binks of Next Generation.
I have still yet to see Star Trek Next Generation. I've seen two episodes.
Oh, so what we're going to have to do is do a Netflix theater with it.
Well, if we were to do a Netflix theater was the last 15 minutes of an episode, right? Or the last 15 minutes of a movie?
Of anything, yeah.
But we could get more out of a TV show than it would get out of a movie.
We could do a whole one, though.
We could, but who would want to listen to it?
Or we could just do it for us. Remember, we were friends when we're not in the podcast.
That is also true. Cheers.
Clink.
So, yeah. Ground control, awesome. Like, if you and V come to visit, we're going to go to Ground Control. We're going to go to Voodoo. We're going to go to Ground Control. We're going to go to, hopefully, Saturday Market, if you guys are here. We're going to go to the Rose Test Garden because it's pretty and it smells lovely. And I think you guys would enjoy Ground Control because I was paying a quarter for things. Like, I wasn't paying 50 cents. I wasn't paying a dollar or anything like that. I wasn't swiping a card, bullshit like that. It was like, oh, you want to play Dr. Mario? Put in a quarter piece. You're good. This is pretty much everything that I didn't use at Dutch Brothers I was using at Ground Control.
So, one thing I want to bring up that we haven't talked about besides the election, before we might do the election next podcast because it's a big one. But yep. I want to mention the fact that we got hit by a motherfucking hurricane up here.
Yeah, you did. You got hit by Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah. Well, then no, she became Arctic Clusterfuck Sandy by the time she hit Connecticut.
Really?
Yes, because the nor'easter storm and the Sandy, Hurricane Sandy, sort of combined to become Superstorm Sandy. I think the hurricane formed the chest and head. And the nor'easter became the arms and legs and the big glowing sword, which they shoved straight up New Jersey, New York, into the Connecticut shoreline.
Yep.
So we were up in the hills. Now, remember last year when you were still here and we managed to keep power?
Yep.
I was not sure that was going to happen this year. So I also had a chest freezer that is full of thousands of dollars of meat now.
Right.
I didn't have as much to thaw and lose. So I filled the chest freezer with... I took everything out of our freezer, out of our kitchen freezer, and filled the chest freezer with everything. And then filled all the...
Freezed?
And everything was in the freezer to the top, so there was no air at all in the freezer. And I had like a reflective space blanket that I was going to throw over the top of it and just leave it alone. And it was going to last... I figured I had like a week worth of frozenness in it without any power. Then in
the only advice that I can give to you is that I was maintaining my dad's fucking meat freezer, and all I had to do was open it for about 5 to 10 minutes, pull out the shit that I needed, close it. As long as you know where everything is, shit will last for 3 to 4 weeks. Just putting it out there. Like, turn it to 1 or turn it to -3 or whatever the fuck you can do to, like, flash freeze that shit. 5 to 10 minutes is not going to result in salmonella or issues or anything like that. But lock that shit tight.
That's essentially what I did. I had it all the way up to the coldest. And then in the kitchen freezer, I filled up every container that I had with water and put it in there. So it was just a big forest of frozen blocks that when the power went out, it was going to take all of our dairy and stuff from the refrigerator, throw it into the into the top part of it, close it, and use it like a giant cooler.
Right.
And then I made, and then during the storm, you know, as the storm was coming up, Vicky had to work, so I drove her to work. No, she drove to work, and the storm is about to come, so I'm making bread, and I made a pie, and I made, I don't know, all this stuff, and then I made soup, and I made the chili, and I made...
Okay, but the shit is, you have a bunch of active yeast because you and Vicky like right. to cook. You like to do a bunch of shit that other people that just flash freeze and microwave a bunch of lean cuisines would not experience. So the yeast that you have is active, and you wanted to use it.
Well, we can. I just want to have bread. The stores. Sold out of water and bread because I guess people want wet bread for hurricanes. So I'm like, I know I have flour. I have flour, yeast, and water. I don't need to buy bread. So I made, and also it gave me something to do.
Right.
So Vicky got left out of work early. She got home safe, and then we just battened down the hatches and waited for shit to happen. And
Prior to the cusp of Sandy hitting you, or?
Right. She made it back. Sandy hit us after dark, and she was home long before then. But we didn't get murdered up here. We were up in the hills, so we were far away. It actually, we caught the edge of it because it took a left turn and fucked up New Jersey.
It really did.
So a lot of people down on the shoreline, like the West Haven and East Haven and Fairfield County, they got fucked. They got hammered. Their houses that blew down, there are places that flooded and washed out to sea. And they just had that happen the last hurricane last year. So some places that were just finished being rebuilt got washed out again. We did really well, actually, except that we had all this fucking bread and cookies to get rid of because I made a bunch of cooking. And Vicky got paid because she does work on telephone support, computer support for people in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. She was on storm pay, which was twice her normal pay for a week.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And that check comes Thursday.
Nice!
Yes, so that's going to be a huge, huge check. Also, I'm getting... did I tell you about my settlement from the insurance company?
About the car with the deer?
No. About last year when I went to Brian and Abby's wedding and we got rear-ended on the highway.
Right.
Yes, and we missed the actual vows and we just showed up in time to drink their wine, which was good because my back was killing me.
And then you took a box of wine home.
They sent me home with a box of wine. Yeah, but I
they're good people.
They are, but I had physical therapy, and they hadn't been paying the bill on it, and they were dragging their feet, and they sent me a thing saying, well, we're prepared to offer you a settlement for $250, and I said, well, you know, here's the thing, my health insurance has been paying for this, and they have been asking questions about how I got my back hurt, and they're going to want their money back, so I'm not going to take your $250 and then have to pay $600 to pay back my health insurance. And then I just stopped answering their phone calls. And finally, they decided their new offer was they would pay the $600 to my health insurance, and they would give me $1,500. So that check is on the way as well.
Good. Honestly, like, I ended up Facebook messaging a comment that was not... appreciated by the people on the East Coast. It got
now,
to the
yeah,
point where,
what was that? We didn't see the comment. We just saw the apology.
My initial comment was, just had to wait for 5 minutes for gas. This must be what New Jersey feels like. So obviously, it was a joke.
Yes.
I got... too soon messages. In that actual message itself, I got Facebook messages, like private messages, and I got text messages. So my immediate reaction was, fuck you, because, like, no, fuck that shit. I was there last year when we were out of power for 2 years, or not 2 years, 2 months, weeks.
Weeks.
Fucking drinking. I was out of power for 2 weeks. Like I could remember that in a year. I understand the hurt, the heartache, the terror that comes with something being immediately, like, thrown on you. I felt so ashamed when I first posted it, because initially I was like, this is going to result in a bunch of people telling me shit. I got messages from people that I haven't heard of or heard from in 9 months. Since I've moved here, I haven't heard from these people. To hear a message from them like, yeah, we read what you wrote, not fucking cool. I'm like, I'm trying to make light of the situation. It's terrible. But alternately, I'm also not on that side.
You have to understand that all the hipsters in Brooklyn are blowing homeless guys with batteries so they can charge their cell phones.
That's true.
So that's, it's kind of a sensitive subject.
Well, and my friend that's like straight from Queens, she was in the Philippines. She was stuck in the Philippines until the 8th. She could not fly back to New York until November 8th. What the fuck? I can't discount any of the issues that happened with the storm or anything like that. I mean, this was obviously something that was unexpected, which it should be. You should not expect a storm of this magnitude. Like, fucking, I've been watching the news, Seth. Me! I don't watch the news, but I have made it a point to watch the news every morning before I go to work. And that is something that we'll have to talk about on a future episode, my new job.
It's time to go. I have to get going.
You do?
Yes.
So you are Rev Hooligan on Twitter. You are Fozwar.com for the lions, the dragons, and the wolves.
Podcast, which is kind of fallow right now until there's more to talk about.
Did I tell you that my brother and sister-in-law got a new puppy?
I saw that in your Twitter feedings.
They named her Cersei.
I did. Did they get her brother too?
She's a little lioness.
They should have got her brother too. Then they could have bred them.
Then they would have had so many puppies.
Okay, I have to go. Hugs.
Okay, I love you so much.
Love you too.
I miss you.
I miss you. I'll call you later this week before in between stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.